So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at verse 9. For we are God's fallow work. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds his foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple.
So we started last week a study on the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And as you see from last week's overhead, it's the core of what we're talking about, the Corinthians. They were quite a mixed bag, the people in Corinth. It was a very prosperous place of trade, place of manufacturing, people from all walks of life. And so there would be a very mixed congregation in the church at Corinth. And you'll remember Pastor asked us this leading question, looking forward into 2019, what or who will we allow to be the leading influence in our life this year? There's a challenge for us, something that can really affect us. And you remember he said, might be something about our family, something about our friends. No doubt we've got ambitions as to what we might be doing in our business life or in other reigns. But of course, as Christians, we do believe that our first thought should be to the Lord. Probably summed up best in the words of Jesus when he said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. If we put God first in our lives, then all these other things that God knows we need them, God will look after. So we've got a choice. Look after those things and do the best we can and take second best, or put God first and let's have God's best, because he can easily attend to all those other things. One of the things we need to recognise, particularly when we're reading Paul's epistles, is that he often uses metaphors and quite often switches from one to the other. We all use metaphors in our lives, and sometimes we notice, sometimes we don't. In fact, one of the problems of how we interpret the Bible very often rests on whether something is metaphorical or it's literal. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not. But of course, in this particular passage, Paul uses various metaphors, and because we've got the heading for our title of the message this morning, Bodybuilders, we will find later on in 1 Corinthians that Paul does use the human body as a metaphor for us as being coming together as Christians and being the church. Jesus Christ is the head, and we are all parts of the body. One is a hand, one is a foot. And he shows how, with our different gifts and our different natures, just as the hand is nothing like the foot, and it wouldn't function if it was like the foot. You know, if you try to walk on your hands, you'll realise just how difficult that is. And so we've each got these different talents in the church, and that's a wonderful metaphor. And I think it's a good overall metaphor to speak of the church, that we are the body of Christ and members in particular. There's other metaphors, of course, the vine and its branches, shepherd and his sheep. And what we'll particularly focus on this morning is that the church is the temple of God. And he also refers to us as being a field that would be cultivated. So when we look at bodybuilders, we'll see it in two aspects. First, building up ourselves. That's a responsibility that we have and something that we're all called to do, to build up our own body. And also, not only look after ourselves and build up our own body, but do what we can to build up others. And in building up others, that will build up us. So in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." And we find in the passage that Leonie brought to us, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that temple, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." God had blessed the church at Corinth. I know later on Paul does speak ironically and rather goes a bit over the top. But we do find that in 1 Corinthians 1, 5 to 7, he says, "For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore," listen, "you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed." And that's a firm belief that I have, that when God brings a body of people like us together, he gives the gifts that we need. Now, it's up to us to release them, but they're there. And although they were quite a mixed bag, they'd certainly got their failings, the church at Corinth, I do believe that Paul was genuine. This wasn't flattery or over-exaggeration. He really believed that there was all that potential in the church. And I believe God would tell us this morning, we've got the potential in the church, and it's up to us to release it for our good and for the good of those round about us. So, the first thing I want to say, Paul says, you are the temple. And so I want us this morning, I want to say to you, be the temple. Recognize that God's in you. Corinth was a place, you probably know, had many temples, and we saw in the first slide the remnants of the temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love. And with a mixed congregation, they would have very different ideas about the temple. Probably the majority of the people in Corinth were Gentiles. I don't need probably to remind you, but that the temple there at Aphrodite had, it's estimated, over 1,000 prostitutes, sacred prostitutes that were part of the worship. And that caused a lot of people to take a real interest in the church. And it shows just how much that the people in that day are very much like the people in the world today. And so their view of a temple would be one kind. Some of them, of course, would be Jews. They'd come from a Jewish background. And we know that there was certainly a synagogue in Corinth. Because the letter was probably written mid-50 AD, the Herod's temple was still standing at that time. Now, we know it was under judgment, because you'll remember Jesus, and it was one of the things they accused him of. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again." And so the disciples, although it took them aback when he first said it, they realized afterwards he was talking about his body. And of course, we believe as Christians that because the Jews in Jesus' time crucified him, and he was the God of the temple was destroyed because they'd murdered the God of the temple. In fact, when he died, when he gave up the ghost, as we say, it says the temple curtain, which was about 6 inches thick, was torn in top from the top to the bottom, the curtain that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, showing that something new was being introduced by this death of Jesus. And this is where we see the reason that we can now say that we, with all our faults and failings and all the past that's behind us, we can be indwelt by a holy, powerful God. Why? Because although it was a terrible thing that they did to kill God's Son, it became a sacrifice whereby every sin that I have committed, every sin that you have and that we, all of us, will commit in the future can be forgiven because God's Son, Almighty God, laid down his life that we might be forgiven. But the good news is, of course, and Paul deals with it later on, and we shall be seeing this aspect, the resurrection. He rose from the dead. And that shows that we can die to our past and we can be raised again in newness of life. And that's why God can dwell in us. In fact, we can see as we go through it that not only does God dwell in us, but one of the major themes that we see in the New Testament is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus himself is with us. And then, of course, the other major theme is that we can be indwelt not only by Jesus, but the Holy Spirit. So we know and we have available to each one of us the Holy Spirit. Not to a few. In the Old Testament, there were only a few people that knew the power of the Holy Spirit. But under the new covenant, under the new arrangement, everyone has the Spirit of God. Paul later on says, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not one of his. So we've got that Spirit. And that's what brings us to the next point. Not only be the temple, but build the temple. Build your own temple and build the temple of which we're all a part. One of the things that Paul says here is that if you're going to build the temple, you've got to keep to the one true foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And I've already dwelt upon that, that the church is built upon Jesus Christ and him crucified and rising from the dead. And we should grow. In fact, I was quite impressed with the talk that Leslie Ann brought to the young people, the children, last Sunday morning. I don't know if you were here, but I think it's worth looking at. She really stole my thunder, I'm afraid. I did have a chat with her afterwards, and she said, well, she was waiting, and she really believed the Lord gave it. Do you remember? It was grow. And here are the ways that we can grow. Go to church. Well, I don't need to preach to you because you're the converted. You're here. But let me encourage you to keep coming. Let me also encourage you to be involved in a life group. That's part of the church. And that will do you good and that will help you. And another way you can, if you notice somebody's not here today, just have a word with them and say, missed you on Sunday. You'd be amazed how that will just help them and encourage them that they can benefit from it. Encourage people to come along to church. You know, it's one of the modern things that people used to come to. When I was young, it was a case you went to church every Sunday. And one of the sort of modern things is, well, you don't need to come every Sunday. Once a month is good enough. I mean, for some people, it's Christmas and Easter. But the more we can be in God's presence, with God and with the people of God, that will help us to grow. Read your Bible and pray, obey and witness to others. There it is. And if you feel, well, it's going to be a bit hard going, you can just remember that. And that's what we're talking about, grow. So build the temple. Jesus Christ is the foundation and we should always be growing. That's one of the signs of life. You've probably heard me say it before and you ladies know it very well. When you have that baby, what do you do each week, if not each day? The baby goes on the scales and you're expecting to see an increase. That's the sign that all is well. The baby should be increasing. Now, I know when we get a bit older and we get on the scales, we perhaps don't look at it in quite the same light. But what I want you to imagine is when you stand on the spiritual scales, which we should do every week at least, if not every day, we should see what it says. And does it say, there's been an increase. That was what Pastor was talking about, our resolve for the new year. Are we growing? Because that's the reason that we don't see what we ought to see. That was what happened in the Pentecostal revival, and it also happened later on in the Charismatic revival, that people started grasping, because it's all by faith. We don't fully understand it. It still takes some explanation, but we have to say, God's word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. God says he dwells in me. God says I have the Holy Spirit. And it's one of the things that I was quite impressed. I always struggled with the Pentecostal approach that there's a second baptism in the Holy Spirit. Although I do see it in Scripture, that there was a second experience. But very often the Charismatics use the expression, release the Spirit. And I can identify with that a bit more. You've got the Spirit, let him have his way. So often, and I'm sure that's what we're going to find out when we get to heaven, we're going to say, if only I'd have known that was available to me. If only I'd have used it by faith. Well, don't have that regret when you get there. Use it now. Release the Spirit that we should grow as far as that's concerned. You see, we're living stones. There's life in us. And that's where, of course, the metaphors get rather mixed up. Because, yes, it's good to have the expression that we're a temple, a nice solid structure, something for glory and beauty and convenience, and a place that where God would dwell, but it stays rather fixed. And that doesn't give the whole story. And that's the whole point about metaphors, that this metaphor helps us to understand that truth, and that metaphor helps us to understand a different truth. And we shouldn't take everything about one metaphor and feel it's got an application. It's usually got one major, sometimes two aspects from it, and that helps us to understand that. And that's why we have this whole mixture of metaphors of the building, the temple, and also he speaks of the field, and he speaks of he planted a seed in it, and the seed matured, and then Apollos came along and watered that seed to make it grow, and it developed fruit. And that's why we should be experiencing our relationship with God. It's interesting that he does speak about the Corinthians being babies and adults. You see, when we come to God, we're a new creation. We use the expression, we're born again. And we have to start living a completely different kind of life, something completely different from the world. And we need to gradually get to understand that. And that's reasonable. That's perfectly acceptable. But notice what Paul is complaining about is that they've stayed as babies. What a tragedy it is just occasionally when someone doesn't grow up. It's one of those sad things that happens occasionally. But in church life, that's the danger that we can be in, but we can't be growing. And he's stressing this, that we all need to make sure that just as a baby grows up and matures to be an adult, so as Christians, each one of us should be growing and encouraging one another to grow. And of course, it was one of the things that was part of the grow. The W in grow was to be witnesses from Mary Ann. And that's certainly adding extra stones to the temple. Add a new stone here and there. You know, don't be discouraged if when you speak to someone, you don't get a very good response. We know from experience that if you ask somebody about coming to God, probably 20 or sometimes 30 different people influence them. And usually the last one that influenced them had the least to do with it. But they seem to be the lucky one that saw somebody brought in. Just be a link in the chain. Give a witness here, a word that you say, an act that you do. God, by his Spirit, will use it that other people. I remember many years ago, we were concerned about a family that lived near us. And we wanted to witness to them, but didn't get the opportunity. But they said to us when we spoke to them, we've noticed that every Sunday morning you go out and we know you're going to church. Just that fact of us going out each morning, we didn't know they saw us, but they'd seen us and it had been a witness and God had used it for them. So be witnesses. And now, I'm definitely speaking metaphorically. Now, you probably didn't notice, but in the second song that Pete brought for us, it was "Set Your Church on Fire." So it isn't only me that's got these crazy ideas. You've been telling God that you want the church set on fire. And I agree with you 100%. But that's what Paul is talking about here, that whenever we serve God, only the very best will do for him. And he advises us that we should test everything. Then we won't be disappointed and find that we've turned up thinking there's all these good things that we're doing for God and they've not been good. God has a standard. Only the very best is good enough for God. He warns us not to judge one another. So often we can look at somebody else and say, she could do better, or he isn't doing a very good job. Well, let's use that same opportunity that we have of looking at ourselves. Or even, it's quite a good thing, you know, if you've got somebody that you can choose, ask somebody to be your quality controller. Ask them, you tell me when I'm out, give them the authority to tell you when you could do better. It's a challenge. I remember I asked one time for you to evaluate my sermon, and some were good enough to really sort of point out where I'd got wrong. And you know, the first attitude, whoa. But it was good. That's what we need. We need to have a high standard, and that's why we're saying burn the temple. We should be careful how we build. Make sure that we build to the highest standard. And Paul tells them here, the time will come for all of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I know we can struggle with how this is going to happen. I can't explain it. I don't know. All I do know that it does say that we will receive reward, that the work will be tested, and we need to strive to make sure that our work is the highest standard. And that's why, of course, there's several references, not only to the Holy Spirit, but to the Holy Spirit being a flame of fire, burning up the things that are bad. It's what we want. We want to get rid of those things that drag us down and cause us problems, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. So what are we going to say in conclusion? Well, let's make sure that each one of us recognises that God lives in us and make sure that everything that we do, our whole life, reflects that it is God Almighty living in us, and allow him to work through us for his glory. And let's ask ourselves, do I build God's temple every day? I trust we do. I know sometimes we miss it, but that should be our aim in this 2019, building the temple of God. And let's not just say, well, anything does. You know, it was a very popular thing when I was young that you used to have jumble sales, and all your old rubbish that you didn't want to get rid of, you now put it on Freecycle or whatever. There's a modern way of doing it. But the church used to say to the members, well, bring all your rubbish in and we'll have a jumble sale. And I remember one of pastors of mine, it was very popular in his church. Lots of people came into the church to give a few pence for all this junk. But it was always a problem with me. Well, you know, give the stuff that you don't want or you're going to throw away to God. When really, of course, we should give it first to God. Give the very best to God. They gave the first fruits to God. Let's give the best to God and evaluate that it really is that for his glory. Amen.